Today, let the games begin. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. I'm joined by Edwin Almeida, our property insider. Hello, Edwin.
G'day, Martin. How are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you?
Well, feeling a lot better because I've been taking Codral throat lozenges. Last episode was Vicks, but now after Vicks, you have to take your Codral throat lozenges, and they come in all different flavours, Martin. So, okay. Yeah, feeling a little bit better.
You're a walking pharmacy, Edwin. That's all I can say.
a walking advertising billboard.
Yes. No money passes hands, by the way. Now, I've got a question for you, right? Because last year we were talking about Olympic Park and Opal Tower, right? And you were saying at the time, well, you know, they may well have to ultimately knock the thing down because effectively there's so many things wrong with it. Now, things are moving on, aren't they? And I thought it would be a good time just to catch up and really start thinking about the implications of the action now that is potentially going to be taken against the Olympic Committee.
Well, it is a real interesting turn of events. From day one, I said, stop trying to get money out of the builder, stop trying to get money out of the developer, chase the New South Wales state government, or in this case, that the department that hold a number of units in that complex, because they are joint venture partners and developers in the project. The builder's got no money, the developer's got no money, but guess what? The New South Wales state government has a lot of money and they love to dish it out. We've got $900 million stadiums that aren't built yet, but they will be built. So there's a lot of money, you know, to go around, and that's where they should be chasing. That's what I said from day one when we spoke about it, Martin, and it's only in the last week or so that that's come out, that they're going to start chasing the the New South Wales state government, bringing them in a class action, which is we should get royalties for that, actually.
Well, I think you probably heard it here first, because I know we were talking about this, months and months ago. And of course, it all goes back to the fact that the land on which the Olympics were held was actually reclaimed land. And there is an interesting question as to the trajectory of the discussions before, during, and after the development around the Olympics. Who disclosed what to who? Did everybody know? Did they not know? Did the builders actually understand the full weight of the issues with regard to remediation that were required? Because the site itself, of course, was an old industrial complex, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot to it. There's a report that was commissioned in 1996, and that spells it all out. And that report, basically, in a nutshell, it says, well, you know, it's okay to have accommodation for the Olympians for this period of time, but post that, it's not okay to have permanent residency on this land because it's too contaminated. Even the geotech report that the information that came out with regard to the geotech report, particularly with Opal Tower, that report that was commissioned by the then Minister Matt Keane, that report said that the structure is built on low to poor quality shale. Now, that's what the foundations were laid down on. I mean, it's just a whole can of worms. But I think the biggest thing that they're going to win on is the fact that this particular building, the design and the development was able to, they were able to bridge the height restrictions for the area as well by I think it's about 17 meters, and that's going to cause the New South Wales state government a lot of pain, and it was all based on the design. My understanding of the reasons why this was allowed to bridge that the height restriction was all based on height. Now, that's 17 meters, that's three levels, another three levels. So there's a lot more weight being placed on this build that's laid on low to poor quality shale. And we don't know how low quality, how poor quality it is because of all the toxins over the decades, almost a century of pollutants and contaminants that have been leaching through all that rock, through all that sediment, and it's just been sitting there and breaking down the sediment or the rock bases around there. As I've said openly, a lot of these areas, that's where they used to manufacture napalm, and they didn't get rid of all these toxins and all the excess the way that we were compelled to get rid of them now. They just buried them in the back of the plant, and that's where they stayed. They dig a hole and just bury it, because no one in their right mind in the 50s, 60s, 70s believed that anybody would want to live there anyway. And yet we're digging 3-4 basements into this ground and exposing it all. I told the story of a friend of mine that's an accountant that used to played high level hockey, and he was able to him and his team before the Olympics they were able to play few teams that tested out the hockey courts, and by the time they got to the second half, half the team members passed out because of all the fumes that were coming up through the ground, and after that they had to cap the whole area, dig down, cap it with concrete, and then pour soil on top of that and re-turf it. That's what happened, and that's a fact. Now, this is a friend of mine. Like I said, he played at a very high level, in a very high level grade in hockey, and he tells us these stories. I mean, this is stuff that we've lived through, and we know what's there. We know why, and we know why certain mounds and certain areas are the way they are. It's not because, it looks great, it looks good, it looks pretty, but it's because, underneath it sits some, probably radioactive shit. I don't know.
Right. And I guess the issue will be, I don't know how this is going to play out, but you'd assume that if there was sufficient momentum around the class action, then New South Wales government would probably agree to settle out of court rather than go through the whole court proceedings, because, of course, more stuff would come out if they went to court. But ultimately that means then that it's the New South Wales taxpayer who's ultimately going to have to pay to fix this all up, right?
Yeah, and that's going to be a really hefty bill. Is it going to be fixed? Can it be fixed? I've spoken in a couple of other shows spoke about the developer. The builder. Has bought one of the units in level 10 allegedly to obtain access for the ongoing remediation work in that level, and there was a lucky unit owner there that got the $950,000 back. That was interesting. I actually thought the builder needed a little bit more room for the further props that they have to import, and they ran out of room down in the basement, and he just thought, hey, let's just buy a $950,000 storage ship.
Okay, and once again, it really underscores, right, that when stuff goes wrong and when the rules are not actually followed and when essentially people cut corners, and we're not suggesting any particular people have cut corners, but it looks as though somewhere along the road things didn't do the right, things weren't done right, and now we're basically seeing the consequences. So the downstream implications of all of those early decisions and, maybe rushed fences translate into significant financial expense And in this case, it may well be that, in fact, the taxpayer picks it all up.
Yeah, it's going to, and the gross realizations about from that for the tower would be about $320 to $350 million.
Right.
And how the, again, we've got all these questions. Is it really going to be remediated once they remove all the props? Is it? What else is going to happen? What about if the soil keeps on turning, the ground keeps on turning, which it does? It's Mother Nature we're dealing with. Mm. It may have been built to all specs, may have been built to the design and everything. We're not alleging that it wasn't. We're just, you know, there's all this. But there's Mother Nature is just, you know, it's just one of those beasts that we can't control. So what's happening underground, and given the fact of the landscape or the topography or where it was built as well, it's, you know, it's fraught with a lot of danger. So are they going to fully fix it, and is the confidence going to be is it going to regain the confidence and the stature that it should have had in the first instance? I don't know, but I really, I'm going to put my money on I don't think so. And so how much compensation is going to be paid out? Is it going to be 20%, 30%, 40% of the value of the gross realization? Because it's got to be, because it's affecting everybody, not just the one, but everybody.
And the other question I have, Edwin, is that, you know, there are other residential developments close by, right? So my other thought is, what is the spillover effect more broadly in other developments in the area?
That's going to be interesting. And given the fact that a lot of these buildings that are still yet to be completed and have off-the-plan purchases in those, and the bigger question is, what are the banks? How are the banks going to value the properties on settlement? Apart from the economic downturn that we're experiencing, now the add-on effect of Opal Tower and what the general public and the greater community are finding out about the contaminants and the soil structure and and all the issues with the basement car parking and all that there, and potential movements of the soil. How are the banks going to instruct the valuers to value? So, how big a gap is it going to be from purchase price to offer to loan offer is a big question, and I think there are a lot of people biting their fingernails.
Yeah, as I said at the start, let the games begin. This is going to run and run, isn't it, Edwin?
Yeah, it's going to continue to run. But if you do want to run, and you want to run with a lot of freedom, don't forget your Codral sore throat lozenges to clear up that chest and help you to breathe better as you run.
Edwin, thank you for your advice today. I think we'll just say the health advice is not health advice, but certainly the property advice is worth its weight in gold.
No, look, we must say, look, the health, it's not health advice. Definitely, we're not physicians.
We're just a bit of fun.
Just a bit of fun. They might consider us to be quacks, but that's a different story. And also, anything that I've said with regard to legal proceedings and that, again, it's not, I'm not giving legal advice. Yeah. I'm not a lawyer, and nor do I propose to be, but I just do understand how things have gone because of what I know. Things have moved along historically, and also in terms of with pricing, again, it's also not, as you know, it's not financial advice that we do give. We're just trying to encourage people to check all these areas before they make a decision on a purchase, the purchase of a property.
Yeah, great advice, Edwin. Thanks for your time once again.
Always a pleasure, Martin.
Thanks.